All right, and welcome to Two Guys, One Sports Show. I'm Josh Alston, and I'm here along with Caleb Burchett.
Hey, guys.
This is our very first podcast, and we'd just like to tell you a little bit about what we're going to feature on it. We are going to go into all the major sports, NFL, NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball. We'll talk UFC, NASCAR, Premier League, just soccer in general, just the major sports. We will make predictions, recap games, preview games, do fantasy stuff, give fantasy advice. So that's a little bit about what will be featured on our show. Let's tell you a little bit about ourselves, Caleb.
I spent my last semester at Marshall University, but this upcoming semester I'm going to be going to Shawnee State. It's where Josh goes as well. We're both majoring in sports management, taking the, what do they necessarily call it? The,
track? The, communication track, I think it's.
Yeah, what so it? We'll be, like, not only taking stuff to become anything from general managers to coaches, but also stuff to do things like this. So yeah, that's one of the main reasons I wanted to go to Shawnee. So there's what we're currently doing. We're both fans of the Cincinnati Bengals. Pretty much all Ohio sports teams, the Bengals, yeah. The Reds, the Buckeyes, the Cavs. You're not huge on MLS, neither am I really, but I like the Crew. We both like the Blue Jackets. Really, it only differs when it comes to international soccer.
Yeah.
I root for Spurs. For those of you who aren't huge on soccer, it's Tottenham Hotspur. They're located in London. You're a Barcelona fan.
I am.
I'm pretty sure people who don't know anything about soccer know about Barcelona.
Yeah, some people may say that I'm on that bandwagon, but I'm really not. But
all right, but there's a little bit about ourselves, our sports teams. So usually our episodes, like Josh said earlier, are going to cover multiple sports. This one we're doing on a Wednesday, the day before the draft. It's going to be our draft special, so this one's completely draft stuff.
Strictly draft. We'll dive into mock drafts, sleepers, some draft day surprises, stuff like that. We're going to get started here with Caleb's going to give us some draft day surprises.
All right, there's every year it's crazy stuff that happens in the draft.
Oh, for sure.
So much unexpected things. One of the things I could see happening is a guy out of Florida, defensive end, defensive tackle, Dominic Easley. He's a guy who, before tearing his ACL, was probably a lock for the top 10. Kind of an undersized 3-technique defensive tackle, but he can also play defensive end in both the 3-4 and the 4-3, so he's a very versatile guy. Very dangerous pass rusher, but like I said, he tore his ACL. He has actually had 2 ACL tears in his career.
Wow.
So that knocked his stock down to late 2nd, early 3rd, somewhere around that area. But there's been a lot of hype going around that he may jump up into the end of the 1st round, particularly to the Broncos, the Seahawks. The Patriots were another team that was named that may be interested in him. So I guess it would be a little, because, like I said, he's coming off 2 ACL tears, and he could probably be had a little bit later, but I wouldn't be super shocked to see Dom Easley jump into the bottom of the 1st round. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I see where you're coming from. You mentioned the Broncos, and they lost Robert Ayers this offseason.
Who also played that defensive end, defensive tackle.
Yeah, exactly.
So a hybrid role.
They could I could definitely see them taking someone like Easley. Ton of potential, just ridden by injuries, so I could definitely see that happening.
Same with the Seahawks, too, how they lost Red Bryant, who's also their defensive and defensive tackle role. All right. Another surprise, I guess you could consider it a surprise to some, because Teddy Bridgewater, his stock has just completely dropped.
Bad pro day.
Season. I wouldn't be shocked to see him go in the top 10 again. I wouldn't be shocked to, when it's all said and done, to see him end up in the top 10, because lots of teams are going to look at the tape. And when you look at the tape, Teddy's, like, by far the best quarterback there is. So I think there's a possibility he ends up in the top 10.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of teams go by the pro day, the combine, and you just really can't. You can't go by one thing you see, just one. You know, if you look at Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he started more than just one game at Louisville, and that's what you need to go by. So I could definitely see Teddy Bridgewater going early still. What I've seen, though, is I've seen a lot of mock drafts have him falling to the end of the first round and teams treading back in to the later half of the first round to get Teddy Bridgewater. But, I mean, if that happens, I think that would be a steal for sure.
Mm-hmm. Another potential surprise. I mean, I guess it's not like... this one has some steam behind it. This one's been said before. But... obviously, recently, there's been a lot of hype behind Tom Savage, who, when we started this process, was expected to go early sixth, maybe, at best, after some of the off-season workouts, combine, and all that stuff. He got himself up into, like, fourth, third-round consideration, and now, obviously, there's multiple people have said it, so, I mean, this isn't just an original one by us or anything, but there's a good chance that he jumps into the bottom of the first round, especially if a quarterback needy team needs to trade up. And, like, if a guy like Bridgewater ends up going off the board early, so, like, none of the top four fall in that 20 range, I could see a team jumping up taking him. Or even a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, if another
team
needs a quarterback.
Yeah, I could see that as well. A lot of people still have Tom Savage marked as a third rounder at best. I personally... would have him as a second rounder myself, but I could definitely see a QB needy team jump back up into the end of the first round to get a guy like Tom Savage or Jimmy Garoppolo, like you said.
All right, and we'll go with one more surprise before we move on to our next segment. People have pretty much pegged the top three receivers as Sammy Watkins 1, Mike Evans 2, Odell Beckham 3. And that's the order most people are think are going to go in. I've seen so much though that like suggest certain teams have Mike Evans above Sammy Watkins, and also certain teams have Odell Beckham above Mike Evans. So another potential surprise, or maybe surprises, is that like top three receivers may not go in the order everyone expects. A guy like Odell Beckham could easily end up in the bottom half of the top 10. And then, I mean, if a certain team trades up, like, for instance, I believe it was the Detroit Lions or the team that want to trade up to 5-6 range so they can get Evans after Watkins goes off. I've also heard that they're interested in Watkins, but I guess that whole top three receiver thing could be jumbled.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I do think, though, that Sammy Watkins will be the first to go off the board.
I agree.
But, you know, I could definitely see Odell Beckham jumping ahead of Mike Evans. And to be honest, I could even see a guy like Marquise Lee jumping Odell Beckham. I don't think it will happen just because I think Odell Beckham will wind up with the Jets and Marquise Lee will wind up with the Eagles. But that's we'll get into that in the mock drafts later on. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I think it will stay the way it's projected, like, Evans after Watkins and Beckham after Evans, but it's definitely something that wouldn't shock me if one of those guys went out of order.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I agree. All right, and we're going to now jump into mock drafts. We each sat down and made a mock draft just of the first round. But,
slacking this year.
Yeah, usually we do, multiple rounds. We've done all seven in the past, but, yeah. But, we are gonna go pick by pick. I'll start it off with, with the first pick, I think the Houston Texans will take Jadeveon Clowney out of South Carolina.
Yeah, I also had Clowney going to Houston. I think that's probably the easiest pick to mock.
I agree.
This draft's going to be completely mind-blowing. There's going to be so many different things that people aren't expecting to happen. But I think the Clowney one is the closest thing you can get to a guarantee. There's lots of people who think maybe Manziel there. Ian Rappaport reported that there's a possibility that Khalil Mack is going to be picked over Clowney. Mm-hmm. But when it's all said and done, I think they're going to go with Clowney. I don't think they're going to trade down either. I read earlier today somewhere that the only way they're going to move down is if they get one of those Robert Griffin-type packages to move down. And I don't think anyone's going to give that up.
Yeah, I don't either. I think they're asking too steep of a price for that first pick, so I think they'll just stay at one and take the best player in the draft, IMO.
And I think that would be a pretty good pick. I could understand why they would take Khalil Mack. I mean, because Clowney's going to be playing outside linebacker for them.
Yeah.
Not really adept in dropping back in coverage, but I mean, they're going to have him rush the passer, so they should be fine with that. I mean, I think it's probably the right way to go. I could see a case made for Mack, but that's probably the right way to go.
With my second pick, I had the St. Louis Rams taking Greg Robinson out of Auburn.
That'd be a pretty good pick. I had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers move up with the Rams. So that drops the Rams' first pick down to 7, and the Buccaneers move ahead of both Jacksonville and Cleveland to draft Johnny Manziel.
Mm.
I had that happening. There's lots of rumors going around. Manziel's a guy that Tampa Bay could look to move up for, and if they draft a quarterback early, Mike Glennon should be a guy that you should look to go on the move for second, third, maybe even fourth, really whatever they can get for him. And I think that would be a good spot for Manziel. I'm not a huge fan of Manziel if he has to start from day one. I think he has a lot of things to work on. But if you can sit him behind a guy, which they have in what's his name?
Josh McCown.
Josh McCown, yeah. There we go. Okay, which they have in... Forgot that guy's name. He beat me in the fantasy playoffs, but... anyway, a guy they have in Josh McCown, they can sit Johnny Manziel behind him. So I think that would be the best case for Manziel, sitting behind someone for a couple years. That's going to get fans to start coming to some Tampa games, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I agree. I have seen Johnny Manziel mocked to Tampa Bay. There's a chance that they could stay put at 7 and still get Johnny Manziel, but then there's a chance that Johnny Manziel could go to the Jaguars, Browns, and even the Raiders. So
there's even been some talk that the Rams may stay put at 2 and get him.
Yeah, the Rams definitely said they will take a quarterback, but they're just not sure where. I see where you're coming from. With the third pick, I had the Jacksonville Jaguars taking Sammy Watkins out of Clemson.
Would make a bunch of sense. Gus Bradley wasn't around when they drafted Justin Blackmon, so he's not, like, he doesn't have any ties to him or anything. Blackmon may miss the entire season.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I mean, Cesar Schwartz is a good guy to have. Ace Sanders is a decent slot guy, but they don't have too much outside of that. But, Watkins would make complete sense for them. I had Jacksonville taking Khalil Mack out of Buffalo. He would play the Leo, that's kind of like a hybrid linebacker defensive end role in the Seattle defense. He would play the Leo for Gus Bradley's defense down in Jacksonville. And we touched on him before.
Mm-hmm.
Very good pass rusher, but he can, like, drop back in coverage as well. He has some ball skills for a linebacker, very quick. He may have had, like, the best game of a college football player at all, like, all college football players this season when he played against our Buckeyes.
Yeah.
He was very unstoppable.
Yeah, I definitely think that would be a great pick for Jacksonville. I feel like he would, instantly make their defense better. So, yeah, I see where you went. With my fourth pick, I had the Cleveland Browns take Johnny Manziel out of Texas A&M.
Would be a scary situation for us Bengals fans.
It would.
Obviously, they have their plethora of guys that could start in place of Manziel, because like I said, I'd prefer him to sit if I had him on my team. But they have Vince Young, Tyler Thigpen. When Brian Hoyer's healthy, he actually played pretty well for them at times last year. So yeah, like that would once again, Cleveland doesn't really have a problem selling out their stadium. They have some pretty hardcore fans.
Yeah,
that would get them some like national.
And I've seen mixed things. Mm-hmm. One minute I see that the Browns are not going to take Johnny Manziel, and then the next minute I hear that the Browns really like Johnny Manziel. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's hard to say, really.
Jimmy Haslam, the owner, he's a big Manziel supporter, so definitely a pick that makes sense there. Manziel's off the board in my draft. I have them take Sammy Watkins, another guy that I would not be happy to see go to Cleveland.
Yeah, wouldn't be real happy to see him line up opposite of Josh Gordon. That would be two very tough covers for every opposing team.
Then they added Andrew Hawkins in the slot. They've got Ben Tate now in the backfield, and they're looking to draft another running back early because he's injury prone. So if they got that, they're a team that may compete sometime soon.
Yeah, I agree. With the fifth pick, I had the Oakland Raiders take Jake Matthews out of Texas A&M. This is a pick that I wasn't really sure where to go with. If I would have had Jake Matthews go to St. Louis, I could have went Greg Robinson. I could have went Sammy Watkins there. I could have went Johnny Manziel. I could have went Khalil Mack. But I just feel that the Raiders could use a offensive lineman of the future. So
yeah, they tried to already go ahead and add one with that Roger Saffold debacle that happened. They ended up adding Donald Penn in place. He's a decent spot starter, but obviously they should be looking for a guy
long term.
Yeah, to go opposite Malik Watson. I had them trade down with Detroit, who we brought up as, like we said, when we were talking about the Mike Evans, Sammy Watkins stuff. They're one of the teams that could possibly trade up for them. And with Watkins going off the board and the Raiders no one really knowing what they're going to do, they could have a certain amount of guys fall to them at 10, so I have them move down. And I had Detroit move up to take Mike Evans after Watkins went off the board. I think they're I don't necessarily know why. I'd probably stick there at 10 and look for a defensive back, maybe a Kyle Fuller or a Darquez Denard.
I agree.
But apparently, they're wanting to put Golden Tate in the slot and have another guy opposite.
Wouldn't that be scary?
Calvin Johnson. It'd be very scary. If they do something like they're supposed to, if they take one of those receivers, all their games are going to be shootouts because their defensive secondary is awful.
Yeah.
But, their offense could hang with any team in the league. They have Bush and Bell in the backfield.
I agree. Matt Stafford, you know, Calvin Johnson, he's the best receiver in the game, Golden Tate, Ryan Broyles, I believe they re-signed Brandon Pettigrew, my sixth pick, I had the Atlanta Falcons take Khalil Mack. We've already touched on Khalil Mack,
multiple times, would be a steal at that point.
I agree, I just had Khalil Mack fall just because I actually had besides Jadeveon Clowney, I went offense the next four picks, and I feel like Atlanta will take the best defensive player on the board, so that's why I went Khalil Mack.
And they, two big needs, the offensive tackles mm-hmm. and pass rushers. Definitely use an edge rusher. They had absolutely no rush whatsoever when Croy Bierman went down. But Khalil Mack definitely be an upgrade in that role because their right defensive end plays more of an 3-4 linebacker role. So they run the 4-3, but they have like a hybrid defensive end. So he would definitely be a guy that you could stick into a hybrid scheme like that. I had Atlanta taking Greg Robinson, first offensive tackle off the board. Not, I don't necessarily agree with it. You had Matthews going earlier. That's my personal favorite. I think he's a super safe pick. Obviously, Robinson's the one with more upside. But both are going to be great players. But I think Atlanta would get Robinson there. Obviously, like we said, besides Ed Rusher, they also need an offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Need to keep Stafford up. Robinson's ceiling is through the roof, so.
Yeah, I agree. Robinson would definitely be a good pick there. With my seventh pick, I had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take Mike Evans out of Texas A&M. I feel like, you know, they traded away Mike Williams. They could definitely use a number two opposite of Vincent Jackson.
And Jackson's so. Not young either, no. So I mean, like, Evans is a guy you can get adjusted to the NFL for a couple years, and he's your number one guy after that. Definitely, teams are looking towards having, like, multiple number one caliber receivers nowadays anyway, the way the NFL is going. At number seven, obviously, I had the trade. I had St. Louis move down into this spot. Have been seeing rumors that St. Louis could look down to take Jake Matthews, look to move down Jake Matthews and have him play right tackle, possibly even left tackle if Jake Long's not ready. Have Roger Saffold move into guard where he has performed better. So I went with that rumor and had them move down and take Matthews. I obviously touched on him. He's my favorite offensive tackle prospect. Definitely the safest. Pretty much a plug-and-play all-pro there. So that I think that'd be a great pick for them.
Yeah, I agree. I don't feel like you could go wrong with Matthews or Robinson. So I feel like that would be a good pick. Pick number eight, I had the Minnesota Vikings take Blake Bortles out of Central Florida. You know, they have new head coach Mike Zimmer coming in.
Who did?
You know, I've heard that they really like Blake Bortles. So, you know, and they have Christian Ponder, Matt Castle, you know, and both of those guys, Matt Castle's older, but, you know, they could start both of those guys and let Blake Bortles sit a year. They don't have to start Blake Bortles right away, so.
Yeah, that would give them options. That goes to show how you said you've heard a lot of Blake Bortles to Minnesota rumors.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard those too. That goes to show that just the whole pre-draft thing is insane, because looking at rumors today, I've seen where Minnesota will not take a quarterback.
Really?
I've seen that they're looking for a guy in the defensive front seven instead. I thought about going Aaron Donald here, but they have a guy similar to him already in Sharif Floyd, and they signed Linval Joseph to play nose tackle for them. So another guy who caught my attention was C.J. Mosley, but they probably would be better off moving down to take him. That's what I had them do. I had them move down. I had Chicago trade up to this spot to take Aaron Donald.
Okay.
They lost Henry Melton. They don't have many defensive tackles. Aaron Donald, it's like coming from a Bengals fan, a Geno Atkins clone, and that's obviously high praise. Would be a great move for them. Plus, I think they would actually have to move up to high, because the teams following that in my draft where there were trades, the Buffalo, Oakland, and then Tennessee, who I also had moving down, spoiler alert. I don't think those teams would be looking too much to move down, and Chicago would need to move ahead of the Giants to secure Donald, and Minnesota presented an opportunity to move down, so I think that that would be a point to look for Chicago or even a team like Dallas to move up to take Aaron Donald, if Minnesota's really not interested in taking a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Donald would be a great pick for Chicago. You know, I feel like Aaron Donald could come in and play right away. So, yeah, I agree. That would be a good
pick. No rumors behind that trade, by the way. That was just...
That was all
that
you?
That was just... Yeah, that was all me.
With my ninth pick, I had the Buffalo Bills take Taylor Lewan out of Michigan. Taylor Lewan is a guy that I'm personally not very high on. But I do think behind Robinson and Jake Matthews, he is probably the best tackle for sure. So I had the Bills grab a tackle to protect EJ Manuel.
I thought about going Odell Beckham here, another guy that the Bills are pretty high on. And like we said, a guy that may surprise some people jumping in. But I also ended up going with Taylor Lewan for the reasons you said. I'm not buying the Taylor Lewan over Jake Matthews stuff. I think a team's going to take Matthews.
I agree.
I mean, I would love it if Lewan would fall 24. I'm like you, I'm very high on Lewan. But I don't think he's going to go ahead of Robinson or Matthews, but he would still be a really good pick here for Buffalo, who could look to add a guy to play opposite Cordy Glenn.
Yeah, that would be a nice pairing for Buffalo. As you guys may have noticed, I didn't make any trades, and Caleb has made trades. That's why mine's traditional, still the official draft order. But with the 10th pick, I had the Detroit Lions take Darquez Dennard. I think they should definitely fix their secondary.
Me too.
And at this point, I feel like Dennard was it's probably the safest corner on the board, so I had them go Dennard.
Yeah, I like Darquez Dennard. My corner rankings when it comes to the top three guys, like we talked about before, we talked about just a couple of days ago, my corner rankings when it comes to the top three pretty much change daily.
Yeah.
With those, my top three being Kyle Fuller, Darquez Dennard, and Jason Barrett. But at 10, obviously I had the trade happen, so Oakland is currently slotted here. And I had Oakland go with Derek Carr over Blake Bortles. There's lots of heat behind Oakland being absolutely in love with Derek Carr, so I mean it would make sense to see them move down some spots and take him. Over Blake Bortles would be, I guess, a little bit of a shocker, but... That's their guy, so that's who I mocked.
I mean, I could definitely see that happening. Yeah, they, you know, they made a trade for Matt Schaub in the offseason, but Matt Schaub is, it's not like he's a young guy.
Yeah, I also saw that both the Donald Penn signing, like you had them take the tackle, the Donald Penn signing and the Matt Schaub signing, their general manager, Reggie McKenzie, has said that that's not going to alter their draft plans and stop them from taking those positions.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think, you know, if Oakland feels that, you know, Carr is their QB of the future, then I definitely think that would be a great pick for them there. With my 11th pick, I had the Tennessee Titans take Anthony Barr out of UCLA. This was another pick that I struggled with. At one point, I had Eric Ebron mocked here. I even had Justin Gilbert mocked here at one point, but I decided to go with Anthony Barr. You know,
risky, huge ceiling though.
Yeah, Anthony Barr is a guy.
Boom bust players.
Is definitely one of those guys who, you know, you're either going to hit or miss more than likely. But yeah.
Former running back, so he's relatively new to his outside linebacker position, and he's already shown a lot of progress. Dangerous pass rusher, one of the best pass rushers in the class. Them switching to 3-4 defense. He would be a pretty good pick for them. I had them move down trade number 4, obviously, like I said, was happening. And San Francisco's a team with tons of picks.
Mm-hmm.
And not just me, but basically everybody in the world is expecting them to move up.
No, I agree. Yeah, and, I think they will.
I had them move up pretty high to get over some teams like St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Dallas, even Baltimore, New York. The Jets, to take a guy that they're rumored to be absolutely in love with, and that's Odell Beckham Jr. out of LSU. He not only is like one of these speed receivers, but you're not going to have to stick him in the slot. I mean, the guy's 5'11".
Yeah.
They stick him in the slot, play him outside. Anquan Boldin's getting up there, so...
Yeah.
Mike Crabtree, I mean, he's good, but he's injured a lot.
Yeah, he's got some injury issues.
Beckham, he's not just like a one-trick pony. He's not just the speed guy. I mean, he's got hands. He's pretty tough. He's a good route runner. He can contribute as a punt returner and kick returner as well. And I think it's definitely a possibility that San Francisco packages some picks and jumps up into the top part of the teens and grabs him.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. I think that he would be a great fit for the 49ers. With the 12th pick, I had the New York Giants take Eric Ebron out of North Carolina. Eric Ebron is a guy who I feel is a little overrated myself.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think it would be a bad pick for them. I'm not a big Ebron fan at all. I mean, like, he is the receiving tight end, and his hands are iffy, so that's never good when your best asset is being referred to as iffy.
Yeah, I feel like the Giants could go offensive line here. At one point, I had Zach Martin mocked here.
That's the direction I went.
But, you know, they don't have much at tight end right now. Mm-hmm. So I just went Eric Ebron.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good prediction by you. I mean, it's a team that he's been associated with multiple times. I considered him maybe a little bit here. I've seen a lot of stuff behind Zach Martin basically being a guarantee here if the top three are off the board. So that's where I went. Martin is a guy I love, absolutely love. Really wish he would make it to 24. I mean, there's no chance he's going to, but he can play all five line positions really high. I mean, I think he could become a pro bowler at all five line positions, for sure. And since that's considered their... since he's considered a guy that they're basically locked to take, that's the direction I went. Josh had to step away for a second, so I will go ahead and do my St. Louis pick first. Alright, never mind. Were you good?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Get rid of the noise.
Yeah, a little noise in the background there. With the 13th pick, I had the St. Louis Rams take Ha Ha Clinton Dix
out of that name.
Alabama. Safety is definitely a need for the Rams. Could have went Calvin Pryor here. I think Ha Clinton Dix is the better safety.
I think he's a better fit as well.
Yeah, like, I agree.
They already have I'm not trying to group in Calvin Pryor as just an in-the-box safety because I love Pryor's coverage ability as well, but they already have one of those guys.
I agree.
More the in-the-box hard-hitter safeties. So, yeah, Ha Ha Clinton Dix. That's who I went as well. He's more of the rangy center fielder, and they could pair him with McDonald.
Yeah.
That would send their special teams captain, Tony McLeod, who was starting at them for free safety, basically, in a pinch. They didn't really have anyone else, so he would be back completely focused on teams where he has excelled, and McDonald and Ha Ha would make a pretty good tandem in that back end.
I agree. With the 14th pick, I had the Chicago Bears take Kyle Fuller out of Virginia Tech. I could have went a couple different ways with this pick. Mm-hmm. The Bears, their secondary is not getting any younger. That's pretty much why I went Kyle Fuller. I felt he, besides Justin Gilbert and Jason Verrett being on the board, Fuller was the best bet at corner. So
he's even a guy that you could push over to safety if needed.
That's true, yeah.
They have some holes there, so like if they wanted to maybe play him at the safety position in some games, they could do that. He could play linebacker for you in a pinch. So, I mean, like, he's a super versatile guy. Hard hitter at corner. But, yeah, he's, like I already stated, my favorite corner prospect. So, obviously, I love that pick for them. I had them moving up in my mock. So, at 14, Minnesota is here. And I was talking about them moving down for their target, C.J. Mosley. But somehow, some way, the board fell to where Blake Bortles is still on the board here for them, so I think that's where they would go.
Okay.
So, I went Bortles there. He's a kid with a strong arm. He's got a good bit of potential, like you said, for your pick. He's somebody who could be, like, you could sit behind Castle, mm-hmm. Ponder. Yeah, it's like I said, he's got the potential for a strong arm, fitting that down the field Norv Turner system. Obviously, new coaching staff, they're going to get their guy at quarterback. So that's the direction I went there.
With the 15th pick, I had the Pittsburgh Steelers take Justin Gilbert out of Oklahoma State. The Steelers need help at corner, for sure.
Not getting younger.
No.
Taylor, what is Ike Taylor, like 34?
Yeah, he's up there. Justin Gilbert is a guy who's really raw right now. You know, it's gonna take him a while to adjust his game, but I mean, he's got great speed. So
some ball skills.
Yeah. I think with some time, he could be a pretty good corner. So that's where I went.
I agree. Lots of analysts would be all over that pick for Pittsburgh. Makes sense. I wouldn't be a fan of, well, I mean, I guess as a Bengals fan, I would be a fan of it because I'm not a big Justin Gilbert fan. I mean, I think at this point, really, all he is potential. He has, his footwork is awful. Not the best in man coverage. He can play some zone right now. But I don't understand why he's ranked so high by some. I went corner as well, but I went Darquez Dennard out of Michigan State, who's already off your board.
Yeah.
Very physical guy. Probably the best man cover corner as of right now in the draft. Doesn't really have as much potential as some of the others, but he's probably closest to a ceiling than all the other guys. But
yeah,
he's a guy that I could see being picked there.
Yeah, I think that he would fit in well with Pittsburgh. Pick number 16, I had the Dallas Cowboys take Aaron Donald. I had him take Aaron Donald. I feel like he would fit their defense really well. And at this point, I feel like he would definitely be still.
Mm-hmm. Great value for him.
You know, and the Cowboys are a team that he's been linked to. And I didn't have them trade up. I had him fall. He could go earlier, but if he makes it to pick 16, I think that's where he goes.
All right. We'll speed this up a little bit. So just get into somewhat of a shorter explanation, not super short. We won't, like, rip you guys off with our explanations or anything. But I had them going with Anthony Barr, a guy who would be playing defensive end in their system. He could also play some Sam linebacker for them. We touched on him earlier. Very good pass rusher, very raw, kind of a boomer bust guy. Somebody they're interested in. Consider going wide receiver here. That'd be a very Dallas-like pick.
But, yeah.
I ended up going with Barr.
And, he's still available in my draft, but in yours, I could definitely see if, like, Odell Beckham was available, I could definitely see Dallas go Odell Beckham. Mm-hmm. Pick number 17, I had the Baltimore Ravens take Calvin Pryor out of Louisville.
I really hope that doesn't happen.
I feel like the Ravens, yeah, I know they drafted a safety last year, Matt Elam, out of Florida. But, you know, at this point, I feel like they need someone to pair with him.
They lost James Eddie.
They did. So I definitely feel like Calvin Pryor would fit in with the Ravens.
It'd be a good pick for them. I had them go with a guy that they recently came out as linked to. We had a conversation about him just yesterday going there, Eric Ebron.
Mm-hmm.
He would take over that kind of playing the tight end role when you kick Dennis Pitta into the slot. I've already said I'm not a huge Ebron fan, so I'd be pretty happy if this is how Baltimore's pick played out. I mean, I'm not gonna, like, say he's awful or anything. Like, obviously he has a lot of potential, but yeah, he's not like necessarily an instant impact, but this would be one of the picks I would prefer them to make. They could have had a better pick there, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've been linked to him. I could definitely see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
pick 18, I had the New York Jets take Odell Beckham out of LSU.
Would love it for them.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be a great pick for them. A lot of people have Odell Beckham going there. Some people have him going earlier. They don't have a whole lot of receiver. They have Mike Vick now, who I think will eventually start over Geno Smith. Right now, I guess Geno Smith is the starter at this point, but I think, you know, you give Mike Vick a weapon to throw to with Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I went receiver as well. They signed Eric Decker, but he's been a number two his whole career, and he may even be a product of the system.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him outside of that, so I went receiver as well. That's where they're expected to go. They're expected to get themselves an offensive playmaker. Beckham was off my board, so it came down to Marquise Lee and Brandon Cooks. I like both of them. The Jets are rumored to like both of them. I personally like Cooks a little more, but I went Lee here just because he has more size. They both offer some different abilities. Like, both strong after the catch. Cooks is the speed, more of the speed after the catch guy, where Marquise Lee is kind of more like an elusive guy. He can also slip out of tackles, break some tackles. They both can contribute in the return game, but Lee has somewhat of a size advantage on him, being 5'11", with Cooks only 5'8", so that's where I went with them.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick for them there. Pick number 19, I had the Miami Dolphins take Zach Martin. This would be an absolute steal for Miami, I think.
Team that really, really needs a line.
They do. They you know, you heard their old line problems. Jonathan Martin, he's gone. Richie Incognito's gone. Yeah. So they can definitely use Zach Martin.
He was off the board in mine. I've heard some earlier, actually, there was a kind of earlier in the week, there was a Cyrus Kwanjo to Miami at 19. Remember, that's kind of died down. Some people say that they don't actually have a first-round grade on him. Recently, it came out that Jawan James
I've seen that.
Is a potential pick at 19. I think that's complete smoke. It would be a horrible decision.
I agree.
Not that I'm not a fan of Jawan James. I am, but I think it'd be a huge reach there. I had them go somewhat of a BP. I guess it wouldn't necessarily be mine, because I've already said I'm not the biggest Gilbert fan, but I had them taking Justin Gilbert. We covered on him earlier. He has some things to do, but he's got size, he's got speed, he's got ball skills. If he can put together his footwork and stuff, which is easily coachable, they could have themselves a Pro Bowl corner.
I agree. Pick number 20, the Arizona Cardinals. I had them take Ryan Shazier out of Ohio State.
Go Bucks.
They just they signed Larry Foote today. They lost Carlos Dansby. Ryan Shazier, he shot up draft boards, and I think
some youth there.
Yeah, I definitely think this would be a great pick for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, he would be a guy you play inside in the 3-4, but you could also put him on the edge in some situations. I also went linebacker, but I went C.J. Mosley, who is a guy that you're going to be putting inside. He's got more experience in a 3-4, so that's why I went him. He's all-around linebacker, good in coverage, good at stopping the run, good. He's a leader coming from that Alabama program, so that's who I went with Arizona.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I actually just mocked C.J. Mosley to pick 21 to the Green Bay Packers.
Which would also make a ton of sense.
Yeah, you know, I think he'd fit in well with the Packers. Like you said, you know, he's coming from that Alabama defense. I think C.J. Mosley would make sense for the Packers.
Yep, and with him off the board, the Packers pick for me came down to two guys they've been linked to, Calvin Pryor, who slid a little bit in mine, and Ryan Shazier. I ended up going with Pryor. He presents a little bit more value. I think that may be where they go. You would think they may want a guy more like Jimmy Ward, more of the coverage safety, which Calvin Pryor can still cover. I'm not trying to take a shot at his coverage abilities, but I guess Jimmy Ward would be somewhat of a better pairing with Morgan Burnett, but I think they would go prior in this situation, so that's where I mocked him. It would be a good pick for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, you can't really go wrong with Mosley, Shazier, or Pryor. there for them. Pick 22, I had the Philadelphia Eagles take Marquise Lee out of USC. They lost DeSean Jackson in the offseason. Everybody knows what happened with DeSean Jackson.
Jason Avon as well. He's the guy who can't...
Yeah, Jason Avon's gone.
Can't be underappreciated.
Jeremy Macklin's coming off injury. Riley Cooper, you know, is... He's a two at best. I just think Marquise Lee would make sense there.
Yeah, I agree. That'd be a good pick. Cooks is a guy I could see going there as well.
Yeah.
At receiver. With Kyle Fuller on the board, that's where I went. He slid a little bit in my mock. All the corners slid a little bit in my mock, really, with the first one going at 15. But Kyle Fuller's a guy they've been linked to. So, yeah, that's where I went there.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Fuller makes a lot of sense there, too. Pick 23 at the Kansas City Chiefs take Brandon Cooks. They could use a receiver, I had Brandon Cooks, you know, the best receiver available there, so.
Cooks is where I was going to go with this pick. I saw where they may try to move down and grab a guy. There's lots of receivers in this class, so, I mean, I went ahead and went with it. So I had them move down. I had Jacksonville come up ahead of Cincinnati and Cleveland. Two teams rumored to like Teddy Bridgewater. So I had Jacksonville come up in front of those two teams to select Teddy Bridgewater. I think selecting Mack at 3 and then moving up to get Bridgewater at 23. I mean, they may be missing out on a wide receiver. They'd have to use their 4th-round pick on one because they'd have to get rid of their 2nd and 3rd to get up here to take Bridgewater. But grabbing Mack and Bridgewater with your first two picks, that's slam dunk draft.
I agree. I actually didn't have Teddy Bridgewater go in my first round. I just didn't have anywhere to put him. You know, if I would have made trades, then he would have for sure would have had someone trade back up to get him. But I think that would be a great trade for Jacksonville to make and grab, you know, potentially their franchise quarterback of the future. Pick 24, I had the Cincinnati Bengals take Jason Verrett out of TCU. Verrett is personally my favorite corner of all the corners. I may have been a little biased with this pick. I really liked his combine interview. Corner is definitely a position of need for the Bengals, so that's why I went.
Mm-hmm. Only knock against him is he's undersized, but he put on weight, and he's the same height as Pac-Man, so obviously Pac-Man fits well in our system. I hope you're right. I went with what I personally think will happen, and that was Bradley Roby out of Ohio State. I wouldn't hate the pick. Obviously, we both watched a lot of Roby as Buckeye fans. In 2012, he looked like a top... People say top 10. He looked like a top 5 pick.
Agreed.
In 2012. A complete shutdown corner. This year, his head just wasn't in it. The defensive scheme didn't really fit him well, having him play in off zone. He's kind of the same thing as Justin Gilbert, except he actually, his feet aren't awful. It's just he needs to work on his eye discipline. He could easily develop into a number one shutdown man cover corner. So, I mean, I wouldn't be too mad at the pick, but with Verrett on the board, I'd still rather us go there.
Yeah, you know, I could definitely see us going Roby.
Been linked to as well.
Yeah, I've actually seen Roby mocked as high as 13 to St. Louis.
See, that would be ideal for me. I feel like if he's there, we may take him. So I'm kind of, and like I said, as a Buckeye fan, I love Roby personally in general. But like I said, he has the ceiling to become the best corner in his class and like a top 3-4 corner in the league and a legit lockdown guy. It's just, is he ever going to reach that potential?
Yeah.
That scares me. I'd rather go the safer route. But with us being linked to Roby or Shazier at 24, Chris Mortensen reported that. I have respect for his reporting. I think he does a really good job, so that's the way I went.
Pick 25, I had the San Diego Chargers take Lewis Nix out of Notre Dame. The pick made sense. I'm not sure he's going to go in the first round, but that's where I went.
Yeah, I was gonna go that way. Great follow on Twitter, by the way. Everyone should follow him on Twitter if you have the opportunity to. Great follow. But I don't know, I kind of looked into stuff maybe a little too much. He wasn't invited to the draft. Usually they'll invite guys. I tried to fit Marcus Martin in my draft because he wasn't invited to the draft, but that didn't really work out. But I had them go Jason Barrett. They're another team that needs some secondary help. He's the best corner on the board. Would be a good pick for them.
Agree.
Same with Lewis Nix.
Pick 26, I had the Cleveland Browns take Cody Latimer out of Indiana.
Late riser.
Yeah, for sure. Almost went Jordan Matthews here. But I went Latimer.
Both guys invited to the draft.
Yeah.
So they should go decently high.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Latimer makes sense. He's a solid outside possession receiver. I went back to when we mentioned our surprise picks with Tom Savage, Garoppolo, possibly jumping in the first round. I went Jimmy Garoppolo here. They missed out on the top four.
Mm.
Rumors have it that they're looking at Carlos Hyde at 35. They want ideally want Bridgewater here. He wasn't here, so I went with another guy they've been interested in, Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy that's been compared to Tony Romo, maybe because they're both from Eastern Illinois. But, I mean, I can see it. He's a smart guy, has some mobility, quick release, accurate passer. He'd be a decent pick for them.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
Maybe a little bit of a reach, but...
Yeah, but, you know, if the Browns feel like he could possibly be
their future... Yeah, if that's your guy, that's your guy.
Pick 27, I had the New Orleans Saints grab Bradley Roby out of Ohio State. We just previously talked about Roby. Yeah. You know, the Saints are a team that they could use some corner help. So, yeah.
I had them going with Brandon Cooks to kind of replace the a guy who slid in my mock a little bit. Cooks may end up going higher than this on draft day. But it's a guy they've been linked to. Would replace that Darren Sproles role. He can line up in the backfield sometimes. He can line up out wide. He's a return man. An inch taller than Sproles, so he's fast. He's got the hands. So, I mean, he would just replace that Darren Sproles role there. I think it'd be a pretty good pick for them.
Yeah, I agree with Coach Fullen. You know, that far, I think that would be an awesome pick for them. Pick 28, I had the Carolina Panthers take Morgan Moses out of Virginia. You know, they had Jordan Gross retire. You know, I feel like they need a receiver. Kelvin Benjamin, and I know you're not a big Kelvin Benjamin fan.
Not at all.
And Jordan Matthews are two guys I considered here, but I just went tackle help instead.
Benjamin is a guy they've been linked to, so that's a possible pick. I also went Morgan Moses. I think they could wait around to go receiver. Moses may be a small reach, but they had no left tackle on the rosters, so obviously they had to grab a guy.
Yeah.
Moses, I will say for him, he may be the best pass blocker in the draft.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. Pick 29 had the New England Patriots take Rashid Higgins out of Minnesota. I could have went a couple different ways here. You know, they don't have the youngest defensive line.
He can play all three spots.
He can. And I just feel like, you know, he would be a guy. I could definitely see a guy him being a guy that the Patriots would take.
Solid pass rusher, too, especially for a guy who would be playing in the 3-4. Hageman's also who I went to. Our friend who's a Patriots fan would be pretty stoked about
Jimmy.
That. But, yeah, you touched on Hageman. So, yeah, that's who I went as well.
Pick number 30, I had San Francisco 49ers take Kelvin Benjamin. I didn't really like this pick. This was actually the last pick that I made. I went ahead and did Denver and Seattle because I didn't know who to put here. So I went Kelvin Benjamin kind of by default.
Yeah, I'm like you already said, I'm not the biggest Benjamin fan. His hands are iffy. He's not very fast, but... I mean, he has potential. It wouldn't be an awful pick. I had Tennessee picking here, obviously, with the trade down and with them switching to the 3-4 defense. They could use another rush linebacker. I had them go with D Ford out of Auburn. He's a guy who, another one of those somewhat boom-bust players. I think he's more likely to boom than bust. He's a dangerous pass rusher. Reminds me of, as a Bengals fan, Dante Moke from a couple years ago, just super fast, undersized defensive end. We'll see if he can make the transition to outside linebacker, unlike Moak.
Yeah, I definitely think that that would be a good pick. I started to include him in my first round, but I just didn't. Pick number 31, I had the Denver Broncos take Coney Ealy out of Missouri. You know, like we talked about earlier, they lost Robert Ayers in this offseason. They could definitely use someone off the edge, you know, so that's why I went him.
And I went Ryan Shazier here. They don't necessarily need a linebacker. That was pure value pick. They don't have tons of needs. I considered Ealy a little bit, but I think they can wait to take a guy. With Shazier presenting really good value here, he was off your board, but a guy presenting really good value here for them, I think that may be the direction they would go.
Yeah, I mean, and I've seen him being linked there if he were to make it there. So, and pick number 32 in the final of my first round mock, I had Seattle Seahawks take Joel Bitonio out of Nevada. I could have went a couple different ways here too. You know, they're another team that could use a receiver really. I know they could probably use a corner. They lost Brandon Browner in the offseason. But, you know, I gave him Bitonio.
Yeah, I think they may wait on corner as well. I'm not a big Coney Ealy fan, personally, so I wouldn't be huge on this pick for them, but that's where I went there. A lot of teams are viewing him as a possible defensive tackle convert, thinking he may not be able to hold up a defensive end, but he's obviously that inside-outside defensive end, defensive tackle that they lost with Brad Bryant. So he's a guy who could fit their hybrid defense. It would be an all right pick for them. This took a little bit longer than we expected it to do, so we'll jump right in and do a quick explanation of our three sleepers apiece, if you want to go ahead and start that out.
All right. My first sleeper is Devin Street, wide receiver out of Pittsburgh. He's the all-time leading receiver at Pittsburgh. He started 40 games. He's a big target. He can win jump balls. He's got good hands. He's really durable. And, he plays consistent. I think he's a guy that his high is a fourth rounder, but I also think his low is a fifth rounder. I definitely think that he's a sleeper.
Somebody that you could get late and still come in and contribute.
My next sleeper was Walt Akins, DB out of Liberty.
Formerly of Illinois.
Yeah, he was an all Big Ten as a freshman. He started 30 games at Liberty. He's got good size. He's 6 foot, 205 pounds. He's experienced. He can play both safety and corner. He's athletic. You know, I think his high is probably a fifth round. Maybe a fourth, but I think fifth, and then the low is a sixth.
See, that's usually his range, but like, he's been getting some steam lately. I could even see him jump up into the third, but that's definitely a guy you could draft and develop.
And my final sleeper was Jonathan Harrison out of Florida. You know, Florida had a very bad season this past year, and he was the one bright spot in their offensive line. He can play both center and guard. He's got good hands, good size and quickness. He's very strong and experienced. You know, he's best suited in the running game, power running game. You know, I could see him going anywhere, the high sixth round, the low seventh round, maybe undrafted. I don't think he will go undrafted. I think he'll get drafted, but
I agree with that range. He's a guy that I think would be a good guy to draft, develop, be it on the practice squad or at the back end of your offensive line. On the 53-man roster, he's a guy I wouldn't mind the Bengals picking up, so he's a guy I really like. I'll go ahead and give a quick explanation on my sleepers. First one I want to go with is John Brown, wide receiver out of Pittsburgh.
I really like him.
Located in Kansas. If you're looking to draft a guy like Brandon Cooks early, or maybe the guys like Bruce Ellington, DeAnthony Thomas, Dree Archer, in the third to fifth round range, you don't really want to spend that high of a pick or you miss out on them. You could get a guy like John Brown in the late fifth to sixth round range, and he's going to contribute just as much as all those guys, probably minus Brandon Cooks. But he's a guy you line up in the backfield, line up in the slot, super speedy. He's a good return man. Broke a lot of records at Pittsburgh State. So, yeah, he's a guy that I really, really like. And he can contribute just as much as some of those guys that will be picked a couple rounds ahead of him. Another guy I want to mention is Keith Winning, quarterback at Ball State.
Yeah.
I personally, I'm obsessed with the draft, so I do, like, tons of film study and everything. I personally think he's the best pure passer in the draft out of all these quarterbacks. He's a guy that, if you're looking to pick up somebody late to develop behind an older guy who may retire soon, he may end up being a decent starter, especially in a West Coast scheme.
He threw for 11,000 yards while in college, so, you know, I like him, too.
And a final guy I'll go with is, it's tough to cut down. There's some guys I really want to mention, but I'll go with Avery Williamson, the inside linebacker out of Kentucky. When you're a linebacker, I mean, when you're going to breaking it down to the simplest terms, your duty is to tackle, and he's one of the best tacklers in the draft. Great at wrapping up, had a ton of tackles at Kentucky. I believe he had over 100 tackles this season in the SEC. He would be a great late-round pick, a guy you could use as a backup inside linebacker who may be able to spot start for some teams. So I think he'd be a pretty good late-round pick. I'd like to give an honorable mention to a couple of Marshall guys. Garrett Scott would be a solid rotational lineman. He's a pretty good pass blocker. He needs to strengthen up, but that's about it. I mean, he doesn't have too many flaws, and he could be had pretty late, along with Gator Hoskins, a guy you can use at both. Fullback, tight end, kind of in that H-back role. He's a guy who reminds me a lot of Marcel Reese. You could toss to him on the backfield. He's a solid run blocker, but there's a lot of guys that could contribute as late round picks.
Yeah, for sure. All right. That's going to wrap up our first podcast and our draft special. We will be back on Tuesday to recap the draft, and we will also be talking NBA playoffs. We'll be talking MLB and whatever else is going on in the sports world.
Yeah, we know our Twitter says Friday, but
that won't be until...
We're sorry for the screwed-up schedule a little bit. The off-season's all jumbled up, so we're kind of trying to make sure we don't have to wait, like, a full week to recap the draft and all that stuff.
Yeah,
So that's why we're moving it around a little bit. When the season starts is when we'll be getting
the
Friday range.
Hope you guys enjoyed our first podcast. And I hope you listen to our next one. I'm Josh Olson.
I'm Caleb Burchett.
And we'll see you next time.